Like to invite you this morning over to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 reads this way. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you so much for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and in, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we do praise you, Lord, for your presence this morning, and we ask for the blessing of your Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us, that you would allow us to grow in your grace and truly be the witnesses of your grace, Lord, that you've given to us, that the world might truly see the difference that you make, and Lord, the salvation that is greatly needed in our society today. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message really is found there in verse 6, and it's seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, before I actually get into the subject matter, I want to remind you of something here in the book of 2 Timothy. And you don't have to turn there. We're going to come right back here to the book of Ephesians. You're more than welcome to take a look at this with me. I'll tell you the text, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the Lord, really through the Apostle Paul, is giving instructions to pastors. These are called pastoral epistles. And I want you to see what he says. All scripture in verse 16 is given by inspiration of God. Do you believe that this morning? Yeah, it's God breathed. It's the word of God. And why do we emphasize that? Because there's a crazy teaching going in our society today that we don't need the Bible. Well, my goodness, how will we know without the Word of God our need for eternal life? How will we know anything about Jesus Christ? And that's the new teaching today that, hey, listen, all you need is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Well, listen, God has given us the written Word that to guide us, that the Holy Spirit blesses to give us wisdom and understanding concerning the things of God. And of course, eternal salvation. So he says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine. That's the teachings of the word of God. For reproof. That's when we need to be corrected. For correction, right? So it's a double thing right there, right? Reproof and correction. So he's emphasizing that we need more correction than anything else because of our own selves. And you have the examples of the apostles. Did they need the Lord's correction? Absolutely. And I always allude to the apostles because they were the ones that God used to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not true? So he used imperfect men to do a perfect work for the glory of God. So God wants to use imperfect men today to bring God honor and glory. And you're one of them, and I'm one of them, but it must be by the power of God. And that's the big difference that God wants to make. So notice sermons. What are they all about? Well, they're for reproof, the word of God. They're for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All right. And says that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. It's throughly, through and through, and not just piecemeal. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Did you see that again? Reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. But I want you to know this morning, this message is not for reprove or rebuke. I just want you to go, right? It's not anything like that. But it is for instruction in righteousness. Go back to our text and we'll get going here, back in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Because the main thing that will hinder our lives for the glory of God is a misunderstanding. Did Peter have a misunderstanding when the Lord was telling him, I got to go to the cross?
Absolutely, he did, right? And so many times, when the disciples wanted to call fire down from heaven to take care of a town that rejected the Lord, did they have a misunderstanding? What did the Lord say? Ye know not what spirit you're of, right? You're of the flesh. You're in the wrong spirit. And so we want to be careful about that. Okay, so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to consider, as we look at our text, the past, present, and future of our relationship with God. All these components are important. The past, the present, and the future of our relationship with God. And I want you to see, you're right here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Maybe you can go back to chapter 1, verse 12, and notice the purpose of God here in verse 12. That we should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. That's still God's purpose today, that He might glorify Himself in our lives today, not in the future. It will be a glory to the Lord, but that stands without even thinking or reason, that when we are entered into the gates of heaven, into eternal life, we're going to be made like Him. So it's a no-brainer. We're going to have the glory of God all the way in and through us with a new body as well. But we want to consider what's taking place in this time, in this day and age, on this side of eternity for the glory of God. Now, let me ask you this question. Don't answer this one. Why are you here this morning? That's important. Why are you here this morning? Are you here to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, or do you already know everything you need to know? See, that's important, because if you already know everything you need to know, you get nothing. You don't get a thing. You don't get anything. All right, we'll do it that way. You don't get anything that way. But if you're hungering and thirsting to learn more about the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's given to us, we open ourselves up to an infinite amount of wisdom that can come from the Lord. Lord, I need You today. I need You this moment. What for? To hear from You. Listen, that I don't stumble upon Brother George. If you're not in tune with the Lord, you might see a fly on my tie, and that will distract you all the way. You know, something I might be doing, some mannerism that I might have, or maybe something I'm lacking in my character, or when I say my character, in my way of preaching the Word of God. Don't let that distract you, because God uses not perfect men, but imperfect. Amen? So I will be the first one to let you know I am imperfect. I will also be the first one to let you know that what I am preaching to you this morning, God first gave it to me, and I'm still listening as God is giving me this revelation, because I still need more of God. Amen? I will always need more of the Lord, and so I hope you understand that we all need more of the Lord. Lord, I'm opened to Your instruction. All right? So listen, we're talking about this new life that He's talking about, and how it's going to be a praise to His glory. And so really what we're going to look at is how this new life is explained to us from God's Word. So notice this here. Three things. Our position in Christ, our life in this world, and our attitude toward the enemy. Has God, to the saved child of God, has God delivered us from sin? Let's try that again. To the saved children of God, has God delivered us from sin? So we're never going to be judged for our sin, because the blood of Christ cleanses us, right? All right. Also, let me ask you this. Has God not only delivered us from sin? That's one step. But the second step is, has God delivered us from ourselves? Yes, He can, and He wants to, and all we need to do is walk in that truth. Lord, I believe You have delivered me from myself, because myself is probably the biggest culprit to my defeat and my failures for the glory of God. But listen, not only that, but has God also delivered us from our surroundings? They can influence us also, right? So God has delivered us from sin, from self, and our surroundings. In case you want a little acrostic there to help you remember all that God has given to us in eternal life. And that's what causes us to walk in a new life. Well, let's look at it like this. Our position in Christ is found right there in verse 6 of chapter 2, when He says, and hath raised us up together and made us to what? Sit together. With who? sit in Christ Jesus. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ fought the greatest battle that has ever been fought, and that was he went to the cross to pay for our sins. He battled sin. He battled the devil. Amen? And God granted him victorious. And when he shed his blood, when he died, and when he rose again, where is he today? At the right hand of God. What? He is seated, right? At the right hand of God. And you and I also, we're reading right here, are seated with Christ as well. So imagine this. Stop and just think about this. If a king, Jesus is king, right? Let's try that again. Jesus is king. Amen. All right. Now, if we have no throne to liken the throne of God. So use your mind and you won't even come close to getting close. But that's okay. When we all see it together, we'll all ooh and ah. But the throne of God, he says, you're not just standing by my throne. You are seated with me in my throne. Amen. Are we going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ? So when you are seated in Christ, do you know what God is saying? I am giving you my authority to glorify me. Amen. But it does not come from us and what we think. It comes from God and his word. If we don't delve into that, we will always fall short and miss out on the glory of God on this side of eternity. So listen, our position in Christ is to be seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that's the first thing. And by the way, you don't start walking in spiritual realm, in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't start doing something for God. You don't start walking first. You must sit down and take in what God has said, that where you are is in Christ Jesus. You can't walk until you realize everything that we have is because of the battle and the victory that God has won for us. Amen? Amen? So you must be seated first and relish the idea of your eternal life that has been given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that empowers your life, and the grace of God that accompanies all of that, that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. So before you get to walking, you have to be seated. And in fact, when was mankind created? On the sixth day? That was a test through you a little bit, right? And when did God rest? On the seventh day. And so when man came into existence, Adam's first day was actually on the seventh after God had created everything. So Adam started in rest. Amen? Amen? And guess where you and I start in our eternal life? Seated, resting in Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't forget that, because that, listen, otherwise we're walking and we're not seated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, make that real. Give me that understanding that I might experience your grace. Now, you're right here. Just go over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And by the way, this is one of the greatest books in explaining what God has given to us in salvation. All right? So look at verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, after you have been seated, he says, beseech you that you do what? That you walk worthy, and that walk is our influence, our manner of life, our the way that we communicate, and the way that the world sees us. But it's not just talking about a literal sitting down. It's talking about understanding our position in Christ, and that walk is not a literally walking physically, but our manner of life that the world sees and that we see coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. So before we can ever walk, we must be understanding the relationship that God has given to us seated with the Lord in Jesus Christ, right? Amen. Okay, so now he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy, verse 1, of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That means that vocation, we talk about that in today's term, occupation. God says, I want you to occupy till I come, but he wants us to do it in the occupation that he has called us to, not that we come up within our own minds or think that we are to do. See, God has laid out in the scriptures everything that he has called us to do, and what he has called us to do, we don't fabricate in our own minds. Does that make sense? Listen, God is giving to you and I the recipe to be found faithful when we see the Lord face to face, and the recipe that changes our life for His glory and our blessing. God wants you and I to be wowed and awed at the great grace and the gift that He has given to us in eternal life. Here's the question. Do you want it? Amen? Do we want it? Do we really want that in our lives? Because if we don't, then you know, I have had the experience of teaching students. Some I enjoyed teaching more than others. Actually, I would just tell you this. I enjoyed teaching all of them. I would just say this. Some were more excited about learning than others. And so you can tell, listen, I taught history, and I would watch them on the edge of their seats and taking it in and interacting, and I've seen others do this. And then I got to wake them up. But they're still not in tune to it. And by the way, when it comes to sports, same thing. There are some that are listening, and they're utilizing what you're teaching them, and then the others are just kind of there like, dribbling a basketball, okay. When is gym over? Well, who do you think is going to get the most out of it? The ones that are intently involved, or the ones that are just there taking up space? The ones that are involved. And do you think God knows when we really want something from Him? Do you think He knows when we're really asking Him like a father who loves us, who won't withhold His Holy Spirit or anything that He has provided for us? Do you think God knows when we really want to learn more about Him? Do you think He also knows when we're just settled on our lees and not looking to grow? Do you think He knows that? Absolutely. So that's why some can get excited about the things of God, and others are like, oh, when is this going to be over? My goodness. Do you see his pant leg looks kind of funny and his tie's crooked? What time is lunch? And so you have people that are of different mindsets, but if we really believe the Lord, come with expectation, you're going to meet God. That's His promise. If you seek Him, what does He say? You'll find Him. It's one thing to know that and regurgitate that. It's another one when we experience that. See, then there's excitement. Then there's worship. We can regurgitate the right answers and still miss God. So we find here that there's sitting, that's the first part, then there's walking, and then the last part, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, notice what it says. And this is our relationship and attitude to the enemy. The first one is our position in Christ, we're seated together in heavenly places, and then the second part is our life in the world, how we walk. And the last part is our attitude to the enemy. And before we can walk, we have to sit. And look at verse 11 here of chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Now you're taking on the enemy. We can't take on the enemy until we're seated in Christ first. We can't take on the enemy until we start to walk in the power of God. Amen. Listen, you can be saved and you think you're walking for the Lord, but what's the influence of your life? Are people being enlightened about what they can have in Christ Jesus? Are they being encouraged, or are they drifting further and further away from God because they see the hypocrisy, they see the inconsistency, and they don't see Jesus? Amen? So what's the difference? It has to be Christ or there is none. And so notice what he says here in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what?
Stand.
Now we can stand against who? The devil, the enemy, right? And I want you to stop and think about this just for a moment. God is not saying, okay, you got saved, now you got to march to victory. Is that what he said? No. He says, and by the way, does he want you to get more ground? Does he say, go forward and get more ground? Or is he just saying, stand and hold your ground in what God has given to you? He wants us to just stand. We don't even have to, listen, the enemy's going to come. You are fighting from victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to gain any ground. God just wants you to stand firm on what? His word and not our thinking. In His grace and in His power and not ours, we will stand. But as long as we are standing in the way that we think or how we feel, we're going to miss the Lord. And I know that by experience. So here in Ephesians, back up with me to chapter 2. And I want you to consider this as we look at chapter 2 just for a little bit here. And we're going to look at the past, the present, and the future of our relationship with the Lord. I want you to stop and think that the life of the believer always presents itself in three aspects. The first one is to God, is it not? And the second one is to man. If you're not seated with the Lord Jesus Christ in your salvation, listen, you can be saved, but you're not seated with Christ. In other words, you don't believe that God can change your life to his likeness. See, that's what it means to be seated. The authority of God is not functioning in your life. I didn't say you weren't saved, but the authority that God has called us to, because you're not seated with Christ. You have given up. How do I know? Because I've given up at times, but I can't do this, and that's the truth. But if I'm seated with Christ, whose authority is ruling and reigning in my life? If I believe I'm seated with Christ, is it not the Lord Jesus Christ? So then I can stop from my own works, amen? Because I've been given Christ and his, and I am seated with him. When we got saved, were we not buried, Romans chapter 6, with Christ?
Yes, amen.
And then we were risen what? In Christ. And then we were raised again to walk in the newness of whose life? His life, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our life is all comprised, if it's going to be done for the glory of God, all in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be seated. God doesn't want our righteousness. He doesn't want what we can give and do for him. He wants to do for us. And that's what it means to be seated. You cannot stand. You cannot walk if you're not seated in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe that what he has said is important, and you would adhere to that you have been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're seated with him for the glory of God. And if we're not starting off from that perspective, we can never walk in this world in the way that would honor. Here's what we'll do. Well, you know, after all, nobody's perfect. Oh, we're sinners saved by grace. Where's the victory and the new life in the Lord Jesus Christ? May it not be in just head knowledge and all what we may it be by experience. We were talking about what made David, David. What made this individual stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and go through what he went through, imperfect as he was. I'm convinced of this. He was looking to God's faithfulness all along the way. He could look back and say, my goodness, God's been faithful to me here. He's been faithful. It's so easy for me to put my faith and trust in what I can trust the Lord to do his business, and I don't have to do it for him. I can trust God to do it. I don't have to get out in front of the Lord, and he did with Bathsheba. He sinned, and he regretted that greatly, but God's faithfulness brought him right back in place as a man after God's own heart, and God can do the same in your life and mine, if we want that. And so God wants us to, listen, it is God's will that you and I be seated with him. If you're saved, that's one thing. That doesn't mean that you have received this idea that I am seated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever I ask for in the Lord Jesus Christ that's coming from his promise that he's given to me, I can walk in that. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to pray it through. Show me that in the Bible. I'm not going to sit there and labor hour after hour after hour and say, oh God, do this for me. Oh God, do this for me. Oh God, where's my faith? Thank you, my God. Thank you, my Savior, that you have given that to me. Listen, I'm asking you today for the Holy Spirit. I've received it because of God's great love and goodness towards his children. And so I'm going to walk in that truth and expect for God to carry out and not accept any of the compromises that come from the flesh. I want to walk upright before the Lord in how many things?
All.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Not in just the ones I want to do, but in all the ones that God has called me to. When we start playing games like this with the Lord, we stifle the blessing of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve him. He says, listen, that you've got to be seated with Christ. Until you're seated with him as a safe child of God, you're not walking anywhere. And you definitely won't stand against the devil. You're fooling yourself. That's why the Bible says, take heed how you stand, lest you fall. All right. So let's consider this. To be useful in God's hand, we must properly adjust and be adjusted really to all three of these positions of our life, our position in Christ, our life, and our warfare. Or else we're going to fall short if we underestimate the importance of any of these components concerning the salvation that God has given to us. Listen, you have salvation, but unless you understand the very first component of being seated with Christ, we'll never be able to walk in the Lord, and we'll never be able to stand. And so all these things go together. You just can't omit any of them. And so when I'm seated with Christ, I am receiving everything that He has promised and said He would do in my life. And so therefore I expect to walk in His grace. And then when the devil comes, I expect to guess what? To stand. In whose strength? Mine? See, we know this up here, but we don't understand it by experience. We don't see God really, you know, next time. You know, oh, we failed again. We'll just do it next time. Or how about this one? Well, that's just the way I am. I thought God saved us from that. I thought God saved us from the kind of person that we were. The world says that. I'm just like that. Well, that's right. That's what we are without Jesus. Where's Jesus? I don't want to be like me. I don't want to be like the old me. How about you? Let me try that again. I don't want to be like the old me. How about you? Amen. Amen? Because if you want to be like the old you, no glory for God. No glory for God. Walk that way and don't expect to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because we'll miss out on the Lord. All right, so let's consider the past. Look at verse 1, chapter 2. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Is that plural? More trespasses and more sins. "Wherein in time past ye walked." So we're looking at the past, aren't we? "Wherein in time past ye walked." According to the course of what? This world. See, we're walking. Listen, and if we're still walking according to the course of this world, we're not seated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we're seated with the Lord Jesus Christ, He enables us to walk differently. See, all we are is deceiving ourselves and not understanding the work and word of God. We're not hitting on all cylinders. We're going to miss this. So He says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Listen, what He's saying is if you're still doing the things and acting the way that you did before you met Jesus, there's something wrong. There's something wrong in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is, ready? You're not seated with Christ, and I dare say you may not be saved. If you have no desire to grow spiritually, you don't love Jesus. I acknowledge my imperfections. I acknowledge my shortfalls, but is that where I want to live? If I love Jesus, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments. Here's one thing I know. I can't do it. But Christ in me can. So if you're ignoring the commandments of God, don't be shocked to what you hear when you stand before Him. He's telling you today, right now, to consider your way. He's telling me right now to consider my way and what I want in my life and what I don't want in my life. Here's one thing I don't want. Ready? I don't want me to get in God's way. I want to find out and learn more about what the Lord wants for me. So, verse 3. "Among whom we also had our conversation." That also deals with manner of lifestyle. "In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh." You don't want to sit there and say, "Well, praise God, you don't want to know me before I got saved." No, and you don't want to know me either, but I'm certainly not going to boast about that which displeases the Lord. I don't want to brag about what I used to be. I want to enjoy and rejoice in what God has called me to be in Christ Jesus. I don't want to brag about my past sins. I want to glorify the Lord. How about you? So he said this in verse 3, "Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh," and that's what it is, "fulfilling the desires of the flesh." Do we get the gist of it? If you're in the flesh, you cannot do the things of the Spirit. They're at war. So if you're not in the Spirit of God, what are we in? So how important is the Spirit of God? If you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're not in the spirit. If you're not keeping the commandments of God, no matter how small they are, something is wrong. And if you excuse yourself, then you're walking according to the God of your little understanding and my little understanding. Because our God is infinitely, infinitely wiser. And just for the record, even in heaven, we will never get to the end of God. So we're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It says there in verse 3. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. May I tell you something? This word of God is what's important. Not somebody rubbing your ear, you know, rubbing your back. Oh, doesn't that feel so good? Oh, my goodness. Keep doing that. I'll fall asleep. God's not wanting us to be asleep. And God's not wanting smooth things and easy things. Because if we're going to deal with the Lord, there's going to be confrontation with ourselves. Amen. And if there's no confrontation with ourselves, we're missing the Lord. You can profess all day long about you knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life will not display that. And nobody's life will be influenced for the glory of God if we don't have Him in our lives. But notice this. It says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now we're looking at the present. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Amen. By grace are ye saved. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. If I am walking contrary to the life of Christ, am I alive or dead? You said it. You can boast, well, I said a prayer and I trusted Jesus. Are you alive or dead? Are you alive or dead? How are you acting? Are you alive or dead? Who's ruling and reigning in your life? Are you alive or dead? Do you have the life of Christ or yours? If it's yours, you're dead. If it's mine, I'm dead. That's just the way it works. That's what God is saying. Oh, listen, let me just tell you something. The flesh says, oh, I don't like that. The flesh says, no, no. The flesh says, ready, ready? Nobody tells me what to do. Oh, why are we so slow? See, we don't even like to offend the flesh. Nobody tells me. Why are we so slow on that? Isn't that what the flesh says? Have you ever said that? I have. Nobody tells me what to do. Let's join the army. That's what some people do in all their wisdom, don't they? Got tired of my parents telling me what to do. I joined the army. Brilliant, brilliant. The future, look at verse 7. In fact, let's look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Listen to this. And hath raised us up together and made us. Who does it? Who does this work? He makes us to sit. So guess what? If you're not seated with him, guess what's wrong? You don't believe that he's seated you with him. And if you don't believe he's seated you with him, you may not be saved. And if I can shake you, Brother George, are you trying to scare me? No, if I can shake you from your salvation, what will you have with God? You can't shake me. I will tell you, I don't fear eternal damnation. I know I can go back to the day and time and the experience that God gave me when he forgave me. Everybody's experience is different, but listen, I can never deny the fact that he saved me. Nobody can scare me. Well, Brother George, the way that you're acting, I'll tell you, if I'm acting wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong. But I still belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I can admit when I fail the Lord, but I'll never be brought to the place, well, I wonder if I'm saved. Oh, no, I'm saved. I just need beat and straightened out. By the grace of God, not by mankind, I need beat and corrected by the grace of God because he knows how to do it in love. Amen. And I want you to know, I'm not trying to shake anybody off their salvation. But if I can do it, where's your God? You have a little God. It's not Jesus. I don't care what I hear. I will tell you, listen, I'm not telling you to do specific things. I'm just telling you to look at what the Word of God is saying. Are you seated with Christ where he's changing your life? Or are you still using the phraseology, that's just the way I am? Because if that's just the way you are, listen, is that the work of God to leave us like that? It's not. So verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom toward us through Christ Jesus. This all is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through ourselves and our effort. Listen, can you imagine? This chair doesn't represent the throne of God, but if Jesus was sitting there and he made it larger, and I want you to sit and reign with me. I want you to have everything I have. In fact, he said greater things, didn't he? You'll be able to do because I go to heaven. And so if he says, tell me, when is the moment God says, you sit right next to me. When will be the moment that I have everything he wants me to have? If I'm right here and he's asked me to sit there, when will be the moment I receive everything and believe everything he's given to me? When I sit down. We can't do anything until we're seated where he's called us to be seated. As long as we're doing our own business our own way, we're not seated. And we'll miss what God has. This is the way it works. This is how we engage our God who has given his life for us. By obeying him in what he's called us to do. Well, I don't understand that. Well, then you better ask God how to understand it. Because he's promised it. And I want you to know there's many things I ask God to give me understanding on. I don't want to just regurgitate the right words. I want to know it by experience. Because that brings worship when I see God involved in my life. Amen. So, we go to the present again. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. He's reminding us. He's reminding us of what we had in the past. He's reminding us of what we had in the present, verses 5 and 6. He's reminding us what we're going to have in the future, verse 7. And now he's going back to the present. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen?
Amen.
And that not of yourselves. It's not of us, right? Now, everything that is of God is not of us. Everything. Everything. Being seated with Christ is not of our making. He's prepared the seat. He's prepared the walk, not in our strength, but in his. He's prepared the standing. He knows the battle. And he will accompany us in the battle that we might have on the whole armor of who? Ours or God's? And not the world's? Not the flesh? I can't arm myself with, well, after all, this is just the way, this is me. I'm telling you, that is the, everybody has said, everybody somewhere at some time has said, that's just the way I am. You know what that is? A cop-out for doing better. That's what it is. It's an excuse not to change. That's what we give the Lord. Oh, I'm just a failure. Well, absolutely, but God has given us his grace to succeed. So notice this, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of who? And then not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are whose workmanship?
Christ.
Created where? In Christ. For what purpose? Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Do we have any good works? Not a bit. The good works, if they come, they'll come from him or they're not good. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, you can't walk until you're seated, and you can't stand until you're walking and seeing God. You don't know the battle. You could be saved, but if you're not seated, we will never stand. We will never walk, which is the next step. So listen, unless you could be saved and not seated in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never be able to walk godly. You will fabricate a pharisaical, false, hypocritical Christianity. And you'll be sweating bullets trying to keep it up. But your house is built not on the rock. If you're doing it. And if it's on the sand, what's going to happen when the storms come? And we know, don't we? Don't we know as believers when we've built our house upon the sand and we fail the Lord and fail the Lord and fail the Lord and say, why, Lord, why? Or at least I hope we're asking why. Because you love the Lord and you know you want to follow him. And it's frustrating until he turns on the light bulb. I've got to believe I'm seated with him. Then I can walk. By whose power? This is what changes our lives. This is what makes our life valuable and precious and God-honoring. And it's all found in the Lord. None of it, not a single bit of it, is found in us. And people want to hear all these wonderful little stories. If it's not in the Bible, it doesn't glorify the Lord. If it's not a truth that God, that we're walking in, we're missing the Lord. People are saying, oh, don't read your Bibles. Come to this conference and come to that conference and go to this seminar and go to that. You've got the Word of God right here that changes lives. And by the way, just so that you know, I'm not saying that those things are wrong. But please show me in the Bible where it says go to this conference and go to this conference and go to that conference and go to even this. And listen, I'm not against revival meetings. We'll have them because the Word of God is preached. But it's the Word of God that makes the difference by the Spirit of God in our lives. I have never regretted any time preaching the Word of God. I have participated in preaching revivals. I have participated in Vacation Bible School many times. I have participated in many ministries, and I'm not sorry, and I would do it all over again for another opportunity to present the Word of God. Amen. I've mentioned this Wednesday night. The moment we start getting children in, we've got a youth program. The moment we have children, we have a youth program. The McKernans jumped right in. God has brought my daughter back this way. She was involved. And my wife and I have been involved. And many others have been involved to one degree or another, helping with the food, helping with the snacks. The moment we have youth in here, we're ready to get started. Amen. The moment. And here's the whole thing, though. They will never come if we're not right with God. They will never, and if we're just conjuring it up and working it up, it won't last. And I don't mind preaching the Word of God. And I'm sure the people here that have been involved don't mind teaching the Word of God. But we need to do it the Lord's way. Verse 9, not of works lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, verse 11, we go back to the past. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, or unbelievers, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. No relationship with God. But now we jump to the present. Ready? Verse 13. But now, praise God, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'm not trying to confuse you on your salvation. And here's the truth. If you are saved, I can't do that to you. You know that? Listen. When Jesus said, you're in my hands, and he said, and no man does what? Takes you out. So if you're in God's hand, can I take you out? If I can take you out, there's a problem. If I can take you out and cause you to doubt, you better go talk to the Lord and say, Lord, am I saved? And if not, show me. I don't want to cause doubt. But if I can do that to you, please talk to the Lord. Let him build. I can't. Listen, by the way, just as I can't take you out, I can't put you in. If I can say things to encourage, you're saved. Everything's all right. What is that? You'll be hit by the same dose of reality as those who aren't saved. We need the Lord, don't we? Amen. Not ourselves. And so notice what he says here in verse 14. For he is our what? Oh, you mean it's not the preacher that's going to convince you you're saved? No, for he's our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, that's two people, that's us, one new man, so making peace. Has God not said, I made you brand new? Made you a new man. Made you a new individual. And so God says, I'm doing this work. And if that's not the case, you need to see the Lord, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God. Listen. And that he might, who's doing the reconciling? God. Both unto God, listen, in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, they all need salvation. For through him, through who? Jesus Christ. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And now he says, you're of the household of God. But don't miss out. Listen, do you and I want revival? Do we really want that? Do you know that God has just showed us the way to revival? Listen, know that you're seated. Know because you're seated in Christ as a saved child of God, in the same power and position, we can walk in him. And when we start walking in him and seeing that he's overcoming sin in our lives, surely we can stand. Because how will we overcome walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit of God? By the work of God. And if God is working us to walk in him, will he work in us to stand? Will he? That is God's instruction to you and I. Not just to you and I. Because just as badly as you want revival, so do I. Just as much as you want the glory of God in your life, so do I. And is God finished with his church? Has he washed his hands and said, forget it, I'm done? Never find that in the Bible. But he did say this, when the Son of Man cometh, he may have said shall, may have said will he find, shall he find faith? Where? In us. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Bless your people. Lord, do a work in our hearts and minds that only you can do. May we not look to the preacher, may we look to your word. May we not look to the things of this world or to our own thinking or to our own mind. May you open up our hearts and minds to receive your word. Bless your people, and we'll praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.